Here's some thoughts out of the book of Isaiah here tonight. Isaiah chapter 49. Pick up our reading in verse 8 here of Isaiah chapter 49. Thus saith the Lord, an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritage, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth; to them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They that feed in the way, their pasture shall be in all the high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. And I'll make all my way, I will make all my mountains a way, and my highway shall be exalted. Behold, these shall come from far, and lo, these from the north, and from the west, and these from the land of Shinem. Sing, O heaven, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. Verse 14, but Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Let's pray here tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word we're looking at here tonight, and Father, I pray you guide our thoughts. Help me be a vessel that honors your Son and your word, and may the Lord Jesus have the preeminence. Lord, give us a heart and an ear to hear and receive what you have for us. And thank you for your Son, our Lord Jesus, victorious over the grave. And I pray for your blessing upon our time here tonight around your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This story came out of the Chicago Tribune some years ago. Dina Murray, 28 years old at the time, recounted the phone call. Come to the emergency room, he told me. That was her husband. A surgical nurse, Dina Murray, was on duty at the Medical Center of Central Massachusetts when her husband's call came in. The emergency room was down the hall from her workstation. Just come down here. That's all he told me, she said, describing the phone call. Matthew has fallen, he finally said. I ran all the way down the hall. After learning the full story, Dina Murray said, I was in shock. The nurse had to sit me down and hold me. It was a miracle. It really is. It's a good thing he didn't tell me on the phone. Every time I hear the story, I just burst into tears. Dina Murray heard the story a lot on Monday as the media descended on the Millbury farmhouse where she lived with her husband and two children. The Murrays... went through the details over and over again, but Dina Murray balked at when the photographers request that Michael reenact the sequence of events. You're not going to put him on the roof again, are you? Dina Murray said, the only time she expressed a hint of displeasure with her husband. As Michael Murray recounted it, things began innocently enough around noon Sunday when he decided to drive Matthew and his 20-month-old sister to the hospital, where Dina was working the day shift. He wanted to drop off a Mother's Day gift, necklace bearing the insignia, number one mom in a single rose. After presenting the gift, Michael carried the two children back to the indoor garage where he had parked. Murray put his daughter on her car seat and got into the seat with Matthew, with her still on the sunroof. The garage was dark, Murray said, when he asked how he could have forgotten about his son. Murray then proceeded to drive through the streets of Worcester. Traffic was heavy, but he said no one beeped at him to indicate that anything was amiss. He accelerated onto Interstate 290. The highway cut through Worcester. Murray heard a scraping sound on the roof of his car. You could hear it slide, Murray said, of his son and the car seat. I looked where he should have been. Then in the rearview mirror, I saw him sliding down the highway. I was coming over Route 290 South about noon, James Boothby said, 67, a retired antique dealer. I saw something in the air. I thought it was a garbage. I thought somebody had thrown something out of their car. And then he said, I thought it was a doll. And then I saw the doll opened its mouth. I couldn't believe it. It was a little baby. With his car, he blocked the traffic. Boothby got out to investigate, and what he found was a baby uninjured in a car seat undamaged. I picked up the little fellow. He looked all around, Boothby said, and when he started crying, I knew everything was all right. He looked at me as if to say, "Who are you?" He knew I wasn't Daddy or Mommy, and that's when he started to cry. When Michael Murray reached Boothby, he snatched up his son, telling him when the police showed up, "Tell them I went to the hospital." He was a very happy kid, all smiles, State Trooper Mario Tovar said, who charged a father with driving to endanger, said of Matthew at the hospital. The doctor gave him a clean bill of health. He's a miracle baby. What a Mother's Day gift. The result was one in a million. Michael Murray noted that the doctor said, with the shape of the car seat, it actually flew like an airplane. Murray's car was a hatchback, and its shape may have helped put Matthew on a glide path. "We're definitely riding the car seat company," Dina Murray said. "The seat was identified as a Jerry Guard with a glide." She said gratefully, Dina Murray, "The Jerry Glide, it certainly lived up to its name." How did you think that father felt when he forgot that his son was sitting on the roof of the car? He probably felt, how big? I bet you he could have crawled under a door. Do you know what I'm saying? So what did he do at that moment? He what? Forgot. Yeah, he forgot. And, you know, in this passage here tonight, look at verse 14. But Zion says, now, in the verses we read before this, God's going to do a lot of things for them. He said, verse 8, "Of an acceptable time I've heard thee in the day of salvation. Excuse me, have I helped thee? I will preserve thee. I will give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to inherit the desolate heritage." Down in verse 14, but Zion said, Jerusalem said, "The Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me." Now, if you were to take that one phrase, you would say that is a phrase of what? Discouragement, wouldn't you? They're probably pretty discouraged at what they've gone through. Babylonians have come. They're in a land of captivity. But God says, your future is going to be like this. You're going to inherit the desolate places. You are my people. I'm going to be with you. But Zion says, the Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me. Now, this is what God says. Look at verse 15. Can a woman forget her nursing child that she should not? Now, this is a woman in the right mind, a right-minded woman. Can she forget her nursing child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? God asks this question. Well, the implication, of course, a right-minded woman wouldn't forget. And God even said, yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Now, how perfect is God's memory? He will never what? Forget. When he says in verse 8, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in the day of salvation have I helped thee. When God saves us, we're saved forever. He never forgets. We may forget, but God never forgets. He have a perfect understanding of all things. And not only that, verse 15, he won't forget, but verse 16 says, behold, I have inscribed or graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Wow. Wow, think about that. I've got a few scars on my hands, some things I've worked on over the years. Things slipped and things cut me, and I can show you a few scars here and there, and I can tell you all about them. I was there when it happened. I know exactly how I got them. You know, I was there. But to think about it, God's inscribed us, and that inscribing carries a sense that it's indelible. You ever had a kid get hold of an indelible pen and write on something like a wall or something? You can't get it off, you know? Well, in a sense, this is indelible. God has inscribed us upon the palm. He's never going to forget us. Behold, I've engraven and inscribed thee on the palm of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me, the walls of the city of Jerusalem. God's not going to forget his children. Chosen people. Now, why would God say that to a people? Well, sometimes we can get in verse 14 and kind of sit there a while, because we look at the past, how glorious it is. We look at the present, how dismal it looks. And we look to the future and God says, this is the way it's going to be. But we're right here in this present state and sometimes it gets a little foggy and we can't see things clearly. And that's where Zion was in verse 14. Yeah, God, I know these promises. Yeah, I know what you say. But it feels like the Lord has forsaken me and my Lord has forgotten me. That's discouragement. But God says, wait a minute, I'll never forget you, verse 15. And not only that, I've engraven you on the palm of my hands. You're always there before me. I know who you are. I know all about you. And some people take verse 6, behold, I've engraven thee. In other words, that's all of us. Thee, it's not just our names, but who we are as a person. All of us. God knows everything about us on the palm of his hands. God is God who's near and not afar off. He's our God, and he's always going to be with us. He's always going to be there faithful to us. God gives us a future. Verse 17, thy children shall make haste, thy destroyers, and they that have made thee waste shall go forth of thee. In other words, they're going to go away from. There's going to come a time the destroyers, the people that have wasted us, they'll go away from thee. And for the children of Israel during this time, God gives them many encouraging things here in the book of Isaiah. He says, lift up thine eyes round about, verse 18, and behold, all these gather themselves together and come to thee. As I live, saith the Lord, thou shalt surely clothe thee with them all, as with an ornament, bind them about thee as a bride does. For thy waste and thy desolation, desolate places, and the land of thy destruction, even now be too narrow by reason of the inhabitants, and they that swallow thee up shall be far away. Thy children which thou shalt have, after thou hast lost the other, shall say again in thine ear, the place is too narrow, too straight for me. Give me place to me that I may dwell. Then thou shalt say in thine heart, who hath begotten me these? Seeing I have lost my children, and I am desolate, a captive, removed to and fro. And who hath brought up these? Behold, I was left alone, these, and where had they been? Now what is God saying here? The children of Israel, the nation, has been dispersed. And all of a sudden, one day, the nation of Israel is going to come back again. And they're going to wonder, where did all these people come from? God is bringing the nation of Israel back together again. That's what we see in the land of Israel. God's chosen people are reassembling. That's the future. Here, they're saying, the Lord's forgotten me. God said, I haven't forgotten you. I know the plans I have for you. I know the thoughts I have toward you to give you a hope, to give you inheritance. Thus says the Lord, behold, I lift up mine hand to the Gentiles, and they shall set my standard to the people, and they shall bring thy sons in thine arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. You know what? You know, Linda, today, that verse right there, all these plains that the Gentiles are bringing back the children of Israel back together again. That's what they, when they read that verse, that's what they think about. All the children of Israel coming back again, God's promises. Now I have a question. Has God given up on the children of Israel? You know, there's some people that teach that. Some people teach that covenant theology, that all the promises in the Old Testament is for the New Testament church. God's done with Israel. And I don't see that anywhere in the Bible. And if you hear that teaching, you just set that teaching aside because that's not true teaching. God has not forsaken his people. And even this verse here, he says, can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should not have compassion on her son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet I will not forget thee. God, that verse alone says God's not forgetting Israel. He's never forgetting Israel. And God may have set her aside for a season, for the church age, but he's coming back again for his people, the chosen people. And Jesus Christ's feet is going to set on the Mount of Olives. And he is going to march into Jerusalem through the Eastern Gate. The end of verse 23, it says, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for, How do you finish that verse? That wait for what? Wait for me. And we as God's people, we need to wait on God in the long hours. We may feel, verse 14 as we look around, but God hasn't forgotten us. We're engraven on the palm of his hands. And verse 23 at the end, I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. Now, is it hard to wait on God in the long hours? It is sometimes. It's very hard to wait on God in the long hours. But God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, and we can trust in him and lean on him. So, we may forget. God never forgets. God is a faithful God, and he's not like us and our infirmities. We may forget. And somebody once said, the only thing that gets better as I get older is my forgetter gets better. Do you know what I'm saying? Our forgetter gets better as we get older. That's the only thing that's getting better. But God never forgets because he's the eternal God. Well, let's pray here. Dear Lord, I thank you for this challenge we have here tonight. And God, as your people, Lord, sometimes we feel in verse 14, that's where we are in our nation, our times with our people. But Lord, you have an eternal plan and you're working all things together for good. And Father, you'll never forget us. And you have inscribed us on the palm of your hands. We're your people, the sheep of your pasture. So help us rest in that comfort and help us wait on thee in the long hours as you work out your eternal plan for your glory and our good. Help us be faithful, God, to what you've given to us at this moment. And Lord, may the redeemed of the Lord say so. And may those that are called by your name have holy boldness to stand strong in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. So help us toward this end, God, that we might be your people and not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. So, Lord, thank you for not forgetting us at any time, past, present, or future. You're always there. You're always just and true. And you have a plan for each of us and for our nation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All righty.